You're listening to the Conscious Sex Podcast, where we'll be diving deep into bringing the consciousness and healing to sex so you can experience deeper pleasure, more intimacy, freer sexual expression, and full permission to explore your desires. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get turned on.
Welcome to what is going to be a very impactful podcast episode. This is something that deeply touches my heart. And recently we spoke about this at our conscious sexuality training, in our mixed gender training with a group of men in the space. And what that created in that space was such a deep sharing and a opening of men sharing about their struggles, sharing about their addictions and their past addictions, sharing about their shame. And I was actually so moved and touched that I actually started bawling my eyes out. I had a moment of breaking down in tears because I was just so moved by the sharing, but also so saddened by what men have been struggling with when it comes to having some form of porn addiction. And in that training, we actually had a beautiful guest speaker come in, a man who has been through struggling with porn and sex addiction, and that just really opened everything up. And so I had to get Anna on the podcast to talk about this because she has been doing some deep work around this and has some amazing things to share. So welcome, Anna, to this amazing episode on porn and the impacts of men and relationships.
Welcome, and I'm pretty excited to be talking about this one. I too was incredibly moved by the vulnerability of the men that were in our CSE training when they opened up. And it was like someone opened a plug and all their emotions and feelings and vulnerabilities around a whole heap of things, but on that topic of porn or porn addiction or just inappropriate use of porn. And it was really beautiful to see their vulnerability, but really hard to watch their pain. So I'm really excited to be talking to you about this today.
Yeah, one of the men actually said he saw more emotional courage on that day that we opened up about this than he had in his whole life, and he would be in his 50s. And I just thought that was so incredibly impactful. And it just, what that says to me is that there's a lot of that's not being shared around this, that there's a lot of shame and stigma and men not feeling that they can actually talk about this. I just really knew that we had to do this podcast episode, and I hope that this information, what we're about to share, like, I hope that every man on the planet gets to listen to this, because I think it actually needs to be shared. And so for anyone listening, please share this, because this could change lives, save relationships. I know I've personally seen so many men in my work who have struggled with the impacts of porn and have had struggled with dysfunction, struggled with intimacy, struggled with relationships failing, marriages breaking up because they've ended up in some form of addiction. And yeah, we're going to get into this. I'm starting to get into it. And I just, there's a lot of passion there. So what I'll start with a question. And I think this is something that's important to address, is like, what makes an addiction? What makes it an addiction? How do you know that you've got a problem or an addiction to porn?
Such a great question. And I like to frame this like alcohol. We're not here to talk about porn itself, whether that's in hereditary and right or wrong. What we're really talking about is when it becomes a problem. And I think we really worked out in the training that for a lot of men, it has become a problem. So some of the defining things that they use to clinically define porn addiction is quite similar to other addictions. The first one is a desire to stop. So no longer watching it because of enjoyment, but instead watching it as a compulsion. There's no real enjoyment. It's just something that needs to be done. So wanting to stop and not being able to stop is a very big defining characteristic. Another one is it's interfering with your life. The most obvious one around that is time. And we spoke to men who have over time kind of spiraled out to spending 8 or 9 hours a day in front of multiple computer screens, pretty much unable to get things done. They've lost their motivation. That becomes their motivation. So that too would be another sign of addiction, in increasing amount of time and escalating content. A lot of men we've spoken to have spoken to the fact that they started watching one level of porn and thought, I will never watch that. That kind of thing is not something I will ever watch. But over time, very gently, I guess that line in the sand escalates. And over time, they're watching the things that they never thought that they would be watching. The other part that defines addiction is the secrecy. If it's something that, you know, you can't tell your partner, your family, your work, then that starts to, I guess, be something that people feel shameful about, and that too qualifies in as addiction. We also know that there is a very strong chemical component about watching lots of porn to do with dopamine and reward centres. So there is also a clinical definition of addiction.
Yeah, so for anyone listening who resonates to that, like, I would really just consider, like, what does it seem like an addiction based on what's been shared? And one thing that I think that really stands out for me is, like, when there's a shame like this, because that can lead into such a shame cycle, and going into feeling shame about watching the porn, but then the shame leads to more addiction. Right. And I think this happens with almost every addiction. It's like there's, and it ends up in this vicious shame cycle. One thing that you said in the training that stood out to me is that women become more addicted to watching movies on Netflix and men become more addicted to porn. And I found that really interesting because I've been through that, where I have experienced addiction to Netflix. And I know what that was like for me, where I was feeling like, oh, you know, I need this. This is not serving me to watch it because I'm not doing other things that I know would really serve me in my life. But then, oh, I'm so tired. Like, I don't have any energy. I just want to sit and watch Netflix. And then the next day I'd be like, oh, why did I waste my time doing that? Why should have? But then the cycle, and that happened for a long time. And I actually feel like it was a large contributor to an ending of a relationship, because I stopped being available for connection and I closed my heart down and really wasn't available for intimacy in that relationship as the more that happened. So I feel like that is similar. And something that you said is also was that men want intimacy, but they're also scared of it. And perhaps that porn is a way of like trying to get that intimacy, but not having to face whatever the fears or that they have around intimacy. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think that's probably another defining thing about porn versus porn addiction is when porn is being used to push down other feelings. So as an excuse to feel. And I guess our guest speaker spoke to it, and so did a few of other men, that it gets to a stage, I feel sad, I watch porn. I feel angry, I watch porn. I feel lonely, I watch porn. I want to be intimate, but I don't know how, and that's confusing and frightening for me, so I'll watch porn. So it becomes a way of pushing down emotions temporarily, and it is only temporarily. They come back very soon afterwards, along with the guilt and shame of watching the porn, which, as you says, creates a spiral. So it almost becomes a... there is a pull towards intimacy. If you think about when men ejaculate, they produce oxytocin, which is that beautiful bonding hormone. Well, if they're ejaculating in front of porn, they're still producing oxytocin, but it's being directed towards, I guess, a screen as opposed to a human being. So it kind of ticks that box. If I'm frightened of intimacy, I feel intimacy temporarily, and now I feel sad and shameful that I don't have intimacy with another person. So I'm back in that circle again.
Yeah. Wow. So interesting. Can you talk about the three A's of addiction and how that relates to porn as well?
Yeah, sure. Well, the big one is anonymity, accessibility, and affordability. So the triple A's, porn is accessible anywhere. It is one hand away from a smartphone. And lots of men talk about being at work, feeling stressed, taking their phone to the toilet, masturbating to porn so that they can then deal with a work problem. And that was spoken about a lot. And in my workplace, I hear a lot of men talking about that's something that they do very easily. It's affordable. You can watch a whole range of porn for no cost at all. And it's anonymous. You know, it comes into this, I guess, picture that we're not hurting anyone because there's no one else involved. No one knows who I am. The world of chat rooms, which is, I guess, part of pornography, it's kind of an escalation. You can have an online relationship, an online scenario with a fictitious person, which also becomes very exciting, and really speaks to that part of men that, you know, were designed to scan environments and look for different things. So that anonymous connection is really speaking to that part of their primal makeup.
So interesting. Something that's just coming into my mind as you're sharing is that, and it stood out for me, and I guess speakers spoke to what you're seeing. Like, so let's say you have a partner and you may see that they've been watching porn, is that often that's just like a little bit of it, and there's usually a lot more that's going on. And I remember there was one time with an ex-partner that I'd seen that he'd been watching it at like 1:30 in the morning, maybe for an hour or two, and he kind of just brushed it away, like, oh, you know, it's not a big deal, it's not that. And oh man, like I realized that when the guest speakers shared that, I was like, wow, it probably was a lot more. And I didn't feel like, oh, angry, like he didn't tell me. I felt sad. I felt compassion. I felt like, wow, like what must have he been struggling with? Because I could see how it also was showing up in his life. Like it just, it's suddenly some of the behaviors that I've been seeing in our relationship, I was like, oh my God, I think he may have actually been in addiction, and I didn't know. I couldn't see. And here I was thinking, oh, he's not present, or he's not this, and not understanding that behind closed doors, there was probably a form of addiction going on that he was probably feeling quite ashamed about. And one of the reasons and this is when I started crying, when I realized this, I was like, oh my God, and just felt a lot of compassion. And I could understand how hard that may have been for him to even talk about, for him to even share with me that he may have been struggling with this. And one thing that was asked in our training is like, what is the impact on the partners? And I know for me, I have had a lover in the past who, one time I found porn, I opened up his computer and he immediately went to shut it down. And I came with him because I had awareness around this, because I've been working with men around porn addiction, doing taking them on the tantric healing journeys, sexual healing journeys. And I was able to say, hey, it's okay, like, and open up that conversation. And I think also, and the reason I want to speak to this is that I know that if I was to shame him and be like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? Da, 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 that it probably would have shut him down because he's already feeling so shamed. Which is also hard as a partner, because it can feel like, I know as a woman, it's like, oh, well, you're not choosing me, or like you're making this more important than our relationship. And all these stories can be there as well. But in that moment, I was aware enough to just come and say, hey, like, it's okay, I get it. Like, let's talk about it. And he could open up and say, oh, I feel really ashamed. I feel really ashamed that you've seen that I've been watching porn. And he was able to share that. And it was really beautiful sharing. And then it opened up a whole nother conversation around some of his desires that he had around women and that he was feeling really ashamed about that were coming out in the in that porn watching, essentially. So, you know, I just wanted to touch on this, you know, this, I guess it's the biggest thing that I see is like how much shame there is. And I think that is just leading to so much more addiction around it. And I do think it's also hard as a partner when your partner is watching porn, there can be a lot of things that come up around that.
Yeah, totally. And one of the things I've really noticed, and you just mentioned it then, you know, asking someone who's addicted to porn why they're watching it, they won't be able to answer that. In fact, they often ask themselves exactly the same question. Why am I watching this? Because believe it or not, in the case of an addict, it's no longer about sex. In fact, it's very little to do with sex. A lot of porn addicts will actually report they're actually not enjoying what they're doing. They wish they could stop, but we are talking about a dopamine reaction in a brain. So you and I and all of us sit on a base level of dopamine. It's the amount of dopamine we need to just feel good and function. And if we artificially produce dopamine, which happens with all sorts of different substances, porn watching being one of them, we basically wear out our dopamine receptors, which means as soon as we're not doing that, whatever it might be, porn, cocaine, whatever, our dopamine drops. And then we are in almost a compulsive frenzy to get that dopamine back up again. Now, if over time you've become someone that's watching porn for 6 or 7 hours, that's a lot of dopamine. And then that becomes an almost frantic attempt to keep those levels up. Most people aren't sitting there thinking about, you know, my dopamine and how that works. They just have this uncontrollable urge to do something that gets their chemical levels up to baseline. So it's no longer about the sex or the images. It's actually about a chemical cocktail that's happening within their brains.
Yes, I found this so fascinating. You spoke about this at the training. You also talked about, you know, people who exercise a lot, athletes, people who have a high, was it like a baseline for
Yeah.
dopamine?
So if you've
And
been an
that.
athlete when you're young, you're used to quite a high level of dopamine. And a lot of athletes at some point often have a dramatic stop in exercise, particularly if you're an athlete when you were young. You know, you went through that exercising, swimming, running a lot of hours a day. So your body's used to quite a high dopamine thing. So when you stop, you're automatically looking for something else. And then if something happens where you're not able to get that through exercise or in a healthy way, you're naturally going to gravitate to a whole range of different ways. I mean, I think you see in the news a lot of our, you know, high achieving athletes end up with food addictions, end up with depression, end up with all sorts of mental health disorders because they haven't reset their dopamine base.
You know, I've seen men who have, let's say, got injured or something and they can't work and suddenly, and they can't exercise, they can't work, they can't do the things that love, they can't do the things that gave them the dopamine. And suddenly they are watching more porn, they are getting into other things, and it is then impacting their relationships, it's impacting their lives. And that makes so much sense now. Like after you shared that, I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. They're trying to get back to that baseline of dopamine. Wow,
Yeah,
so fascinating.
totally. And then think about the effects of COVID and lockdowns. People aren't able to exercise. For people who had a life that involved outdoor exercise or work that was physical, stop. We also had no ability to, you know, maintain connections. So all of a sudden people are separated, they're not exercising. And I believe that the use of porn tripled over lockdowns. And I think I've shared with you before in my adult industry business that I own, the difference in men pre-lockdown and post-lockdown is quite significant. And the significance or the things I see is, first of all, men coming in with erectile dysfunction. And I'm talking very young men. I'm talking men in their early 20s who are no longer able to maintain an erection because their neural pathways have been disturbed and their brain now recognises porn as a way to get an erection and not a woman. So huge difference in that post-lockdowns. But also, and I spoke to how the type of porn that is watched can escalate. The acts that are being requested inside my adult establishment have become more and more extreme, and men are quite shocked that women don't like those acts. Things like choking, slapping, hitting are often seen as quite normal part of sexual interaction. And a lot of the men, particularly young men, are really quite shocked when that's not received well. Like there's a genuine shock of, but I thought she would have liked to be choked. I thought she would have liked to be slapped and those kind of things. And that often comes from men who've had a steady diet of pornography, and particularly young men who that has been their sex education, that they have watched porn for maybe five or six or 7 years before they've even been anywhere near a woman. So this has become their sex education.
Yeah, and this really aligns with some of the statistics that I've found, which is that essentially 53% of boys and 39% of girls believe that porn is a realistic depiction of sex, like, which is just wild. Like, so insane. And we know, like, practicing conscious sexuality, like, that it is so unrealistic. And even, like, I mean, some people that I know that work in the industry know how unrealistic it is and are putting things on and doing things that are uncomfortable and moving their bodies in certain ways and that are just actually, it's actually not real. And this is not everyone, but I'm just from some of the stories that I've heard and things that are doing, from also there's a lot of people that are doing things in the industry that their bodies don't want to do, that their bodies are like similar to what we teach within the, you know, working as escorts sometimes, that it's like the body is actually doing things that it is like saying no to. And then that is being displayed on porn and thinking that these things are okay. Things like, oh, this person wants to do this. There's no consent. There's no anything around boundaries. Like, it's just wild that is being seen as normal, depicted as like this is realistic, right? And so I think this, you know, speaks to a lack of sex education. Like, we really need to have a lot of better sex education as teenagers, but also like that it is so accessible and it is completely unregulated. Like, there's no regulation around what people can and can't watch and what is real, what is not real, like, you know, in education around that.
Look, I know as a parent, it's almost impossible now to put things on my computer that my children are not smart enough to outsmart. So I know the age of first viewing of pornography is dropping dramatically, and it's not unusual for children to have sighted porn by the age of 8. Now, you think about, let's say in the school system, talks about sex education, et cetera, come well after that, which means there's often been a lot of education by porn before sex is even spoken about. So it's not unreasonable that young people think that's a real depiction of sex. Porn images can pop up, you know, for me, one of my children, and fortunately they came running to me with the computer. They were downloading a Disney movie. Granted, they had gone to a illegal site. But they were downloading a Disney movie and images of porn came up. Fortunately, you know, in that case, her brother grabbed it, but that's how easy it is. pops up in front of a child when they're trying to watch a Disney movie. And kids are smart, and I have parental controls on my computer, but they were able to remove the parental controls to go and download the Disney movie. And, you know, that's compelling to kids. But also watching, there's lots of research to say watching porn as a child is actually traumatic and will overload a child's nervous system. They're not ready for these kind of images. They're not designed for that kind of, I guess, sexual stimulation at that age. So it's actually traumatizing children.
Ah, oh, yeah, that's, yeah, I can't, I don't even have any words. Like, it's like, ah, oh, yeah, I'm lost for words hearing that.
And I guess that's an education piece. We really need to start educating kids really, really young about this kind of stuff, explaining to them. And it's, I guess, we have to have those uncomfortable conversations with kids really young. Because by the time you think they're ready, they may have already viewed something that they don't know how to deal with.
Yeah. And something that also reminds me, as you spoke about, how men are often re-traumatizing themselves every time they watch porn. So I would love you to speak to that.
Yeah. Oh. This is something that nearly brings me to tears. So I feel quite strongly about this. There is some statistical evidence around and some research being done early stages about who gets addicted to porn and who doesn't. Some people can just take it or leave it and it doesn't escalate, but for others it does. There does seem to be a correlation between men who have experienced trauma, particularly sexual trauma, and the way they gravitate towards porn. And quite often what happens is the type of porn they watch or the sub-stories in the pornography that they're watching will be connected to their own trauma. It's like they're just pulled towards it on a subconscious level. So they, you know, in a shadowy way, they're poured towards watching their own trauma over and over again. They do so in a sympathetic state, so heart racing. So they're actually re-traumatizing themselves with their own trauma in a sympathetic state. Even worse, if they then are watching chat rooms and go through the edging process, often then puts men into a hypnotic state. So they're almost going from a freeze state to a sympathetic state and back again, all while they're playing out their own traumas. There's a lot of work being done overseas but not in Australia. Or once men have identified they have a problem with porn, they actually go back and analyse the type of porn they're watching. What are the recurrent themes? What are the recurrent stories? And often leads back directly to a trauma that happened to them when they were young. So I find that incredibly disturbing. And this is be all happening on a subconscious level. So men are not sitting there and thinking, oh, wow, this happened to me. I want to experience again. Quite the opposite. It's compulsive and it's happening on a shadowy subconscious level.
Yeah, I find that so interesting to just really explore, like, where does this come from? What am I watching? Where does this come from? Is there some trauma that's playing out? And maybe, you know, they don't even realize that is there. You said, you know, subconscious. Something you also mentioned was that in the cocktail of the sympathetic response, the fear, shame, guilt, that it becomes bundled up with their sexual energy. And they're then imprinting this over and over and re-traumatizing themselves. So, yeah, just wow.
Nothing more powerful, as we know, than our sexual energy. So imagine moving that sexual energy through your body when it's attached to trauma. And you will find that often when men are watching porn and when they're ejaculating to porn, it's in that full sympathetic, I've got to do this quickly, I've got to do this quietly, I've got to get this to happen. Muscles are tensed, jaw is tensed, that gets frozen in their body, and often then they fall asleep. So there's no movement of that trauma through their body. It is just imprinted, frozen, and
so they are literally in a trauma response while they're watching porn.
Correct. Correct. And that wouldn't be everyone. Once again, we're speaking to a subset. But if you just think about that muscle tension that goes with trying to get a quick ejaculation out in the toilets at work quietly so no one else hears because I'm not able to deal with the problem. That's very much a trauma response.
Yeah, so essentially the watching of porn has become a trauma response.
Correct.
So, I mean, I'd love to talk about the way forward, like where to from here, how to work with this. And this is a lot of the work that I've done with men in the tantric sexual healing space. Some of the things you touched on was erectile dysfunction, and that is something that I have seen on epidemic level, that so many men struggling with erectile problems and often related to porn use. And that thing where they'll say, well, I've had a lot of men say, oh, I can get hard when I watch porn, but then I can't get hard when I'm with a partner. And that's why they're coming for sexual healing, because they think they're broken. And the reality is that they're so in their heads, they're so disassociated, and they're so, their mind like needs a visual. It needs to be, so when they're going to have sex, they're then having to visualize in their mind or watch porn while they're having sex. Actually, you just reminded me too, like as I'm saying this, I spoke to a friend recently, a female friend of mine, who was going through a really hard breakup. And she said she started watching porn and she started to not be able to orgasm while having sex unless she was watching porn. So she would be like, oh, I want to put porn on. And she was watching it for a very minimal amount of time. Like she had, like, I think she was watching it every day, but it was like she hadn't been watching it for that long. And that just says how quickly something like this can be happened. And just imagine having done that for years and years and years and years, and literally have trained your brain and your body to rely on this for arousal, for to get an erection. And for often I've seen with men is like having premature ejaculation and not being able to last because they are having to get it out quickly. They're not wanting to get caught. They're just wanting that stress relief. And they literally have trained their brain that it's not safe to last longer, or I need to get this out because otherwise I might get caught and I feel guilt and shame and I need to avoid those feelings. And then it gets caught up and then they feel more shame, and then on top of that, and then it just becomes this big, big cycle.
Which means also that whenever they're aroused for any reason, it goes back to that shame, that sympathetic response. So then any kind of sexual trigger, instead of thinking about intimacy or connection, becomes connected to porn or visuals of porn. And often you'll find that men who become addicted to porn, even when they think they're being intimate with a partner, they are actually visualizing about something else. I spoke to a gentleman recently who told me that he was still connected to his partner when he was having sex, because even though he was visualizing all sorts of things, they were her doing those things. But when you spoke to the partner, they were things that she would never do, and she still felt that that was a big disconnect of intimacy, that he was thinking about things that she would never do nor would she want to do, rather than focusing on the sensations and the feelings and the beauty of their connection.
Yeah, and look, I've been with men that I can feel are not there. They're not present. Their mind's somewhere else. They're thinking about something else. They are struggling because they're not really there, or they're in this energy that, oh, like, oh, I don't, you're not really with me right now. You're somewhere else, or you're trying to achieve something, or you're trying to try this position that you've seen on a porn and think that this is what's going to get me off or whatever it is. And it's like, no, I just want to feel you, like be here with me, be present with me. I want to feel you. And unfortunately, the damage that porn has done for a lot of men who have experienced addiction is that they have completely become disassociated from their bodies and they do not know how to be present, that it's not safe to be present. I mean, if you're in a trauma response every time you're watching porn, you are going to feel not safe to actually be in intimacy. It's not going to feel safe to be in your body. It's going to feel it's going to feel shame when feeling pleasure or getting aroused or feeling guilt, like feeling guilty or shameful when it comes to pleasure or arousal.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking to that, think about men who already have an inability to get into their bodies during sex because they've got sexual trauma. You know, that there's a lot of fear associated with that sexual response. So instead of learning to work with that or learning to move through that, they've been able to escape that feeling maybe for their entire, you know, sexual life, that they've never actually had to deal with the trauma. So they've never really been present for sex. And of course, that leads to another problem. Men put such pressure on themselves around performance, around getting an erection, about being able to come, about being able to pleasure on a woman, often in a way that they perceive will make a woman happy. So that pressure often makes them more likely to visualize about porn, because then they start to create another trauma response about, what if I can't do this? So it all gets mixed together, which means basically any sexual encounter can become quite frightening and triggering.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, it's just, it's a lot. And I remember when we spoke about this in the training, like everyone in the room had to take a breath. We were like, whoa, this is a lot to really realize what is going on for men. And not to say this is men only, because, you know, women absolutely watch porn. But I personally, this is my strong belief, is that one of the reasons that men have become addicted to porn is because we do not have initiation for boys to become men, which was a very large part of our society, and a way that men were then taught over this initiation process how to feel their emotions, how to work with their sexual energy. And so between the ages of 14 and 17 is usually the age that a man will go through initiation. So a boy is taken out and he is mentored by the uncles and the other men in a tribe and shown how to feel his emotions. His emotions are welcomed, you know, so that those anger, that shame, that guilt, that stress, he's taught how to feel it. And the other men are also, he's being taught how to work with his sexual energy, how to use it as life force. And so what's happening is a man's testosterone levels, or at 14 years old, sorry, when a boy is becoming a man, they skyrocket, goes up 1200%. And what happens is that, by up to 1200%, I just want to say that correctly, is what happens is that they don't know how to deal with this energy. What do I do with all this extra testosterone? What do I do with it? What do I do with it? And they don't have anywhere to channel it, especially these days with things also like video games and social media. And, you know, we're not getting outside as much and running around. And boys are meant to also like have rough and tumble play and do things that are going to, you know, use their testosterone levels and put it into the things like being around other men and doing things that are really activated and action taking. And so because they're not feeling their emotions, they might be feeling stressed, they might be dealing with stuff at home, with stuff at school. So what do? Here's porn, right? Here's, video games. Here's these other things that they are doing to then try and get stress out of their system. So they are using these things to suppress their emotions, not feel shame, guilt, anger, sadness, or it's not safe to feel these things. I've not been taught how to feel these emotions. So finding these things like porn and video games and other things that are going to numb them is going to suppress those emotions. And unfortunately, our emotions are very, our body is linked to our emotions. So when I've been working with these men around things like sexual dysfunction, we will find that erectile dysfunction can be linked to rejection, can be linked to shame, can be linked to guilt, all these emotions that are unexpressed that we need to go back and work with and open up. And usually, as you've mentioned before, but it compounds, right? So for example, a man might feel ashamed that he's got erectile-ish problems, and then, but the shame causes more erectile problems. Yeah, so it becomes compounding. And then, oh, well, to get aroused, I watch porn, and then I feel shame about the porn, and then it creates more on top of that. So eventually there's men that aren't even having any intimacy and end up in these addiction and shame cycles because they actually feel like they're so deeply broken. So my belief is that the way through this is that men have to do trauma healing. They have to work on the trauma and learn how to feel their emotions. Like, this is a hugest piece, feeling the shame, feeling the guilt, feeling sadness, feeling anger, releasing all the stuff. And what is that going to do is going to get them back into their bodies. Yeah. And it's hard. It's uncomfortable. It's like so difficult. I actually had someone messaged me recently who had realized that they were like, as a man who had been watching porn and on social media, and he's like started to steer away from those things, and he's like, oh my god, this is really hard. Like, I realize how hard it is not to do these things, and because it's going to force to feel all these emotions that have been suppressed. But the most beautiful thing is that in feeling the emotions is the absolute liberation, the aliveness, the joy, the pleasure. Like, the pleasure that these men get to feel is beyond what they would be watching, in my opinion, like what they could ever feel watching porn. Like, that they get to feel within their own bodies. That is not just a friction based external experience. It's an internal aliveness of pleasure and sensation that rises through the body. And this is like what we teach at our conscious sexuality training, is we're working with women to help men go on this journey and support them to heal and to open up and heal their addiction, and to work with working with their sexual energy to go through that initiation. And also in our mixed gender training, we're also supporting men to go on this training. We've currently got a group of men who are all on a 28-day sexual healing program where they are not watching porn and they're not ejaculating, and they're learning how to work with their sexual energy and feel all the emotions that are coming up by not releasing their ejaculation as a form of stress relief, and by not watching porn as a way to feel, essentially open up, they get back into their bodies and out of their heads. And I know that because of this, that on the other side of that, they will feel more alive. Things will like work a lot better. And I've had so much feedback from men that have done this program that they have shared like how it drastically has shifted things for them. I'll actually put a link to that program in the show notes as well. So for any men that might feel called to go on that journey, it is a 28-day tantric sexual healing program for men. And I'll put a little discount code in there as well.
I think you just touched on such an important piece about young men's initiation. And I think it also links into another part of our CSE training that, we talk a lot about, before we had a patriarchal system, there were temples. And men came to temples to be initiated, to be healed in the arms of the feminine. So they came back from war full of their male strength, but they stopped and they just spent time being sexually healed in the arms of the feminine. And the patriarchy has removed that. There is very few options for men to just relax and be healed by that feminine energy. And what I didn't realize until I spoke to a number of men, I always saw the role of women in porn as quite submissive. But quite a few men have told me, yeah, only sort of. What we're also attracted to in porn is the sexual confidence of those women, that they actually touch that part of me that wants to be around a strong, healing, sexual woman. But I don't know where to place that feeling because we don't have a structure for that. So I guess that the other thing we're teaching our awesome CSE women is how to be those healers, how to create spaces where men can connect with the feminine in the short term, where they can be held, where they can be healed, where their vulnerability and sexual energy is welcome. And that's something that's been really, really lost. And bringing that back, I think, is also an important piece. And look, as you know, I've just done a sacred body healing overseas, and there were 3 and 4 men in that group, or we did some mixed group, who did the 10-day healing where they were very held by female energy. He said, I think I'd ever want to watch porn again. It's just not good compared to that. So I guess that's one of the things we're teaching in the CSEs, how women can offer this and how this can really help men just experience something that's just a lot better.
Yeah, you just reminded me of something some of the other men have said in our training have experienced, non-ejaculatory orgasms. And I've also had many men that I've worked with one-on-one that are just like, oh, well, I'll never go back to ejaculating again. They're like, why would I ejaculate? Like, because, ejaculation releases the life force energy, the sexual energy. And I'm not anti-ejaculation. There's a lot of tantric trainings that are like, you shouldn't be ejaculating ever. But I think it's about doing it consciously and knowing when it's an addiction to ejaculation, which is a whole nother conversation talking about that, because men often do have an addiction to ejaculation as a form of stress relief, and they're not holding their seed, which is their life force energy, which they can channel into their lives. It's where a lot of their aliveness and motivation and inspiration that fuels them and they can put into their lives and put into their purpose and a sense of power and, even becoming more magnetic and attractive. And a lot of women are very attracted to men that are holding their seed. It can be very magnetizing. So I think that, yeah, it's interesting once men do experience this, that they start to be like, okay, this is what some men have said to me. They're like, this is like a whole world, a whole nother world that I didn't even know existed out there. And I've been so suppressed and I didn't even know. I had no idea. The amount of men I've sat with one-on-one and I've talked about their struggles and related it to the things like the emotions. And they've gone and maybe got pills or things and it didn't work. And I've explained it to them in 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, this is what's going on. They're like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. You just explained everything in a way that I've never heard before. Like, and they will say it just, that resonates. I feel that in my body. I get it. That, like, wow. It's like light bulbs just suddenly go off as they realize like how much of their struggles when it comes to their sexuality is related to their emotions and their trauma. And that is the place to start, and working with consciously with their sexual energy.
And EJ, that reminds me of a really beautiful moment that we shared, one of many. In our CSE training, when we did the all-female, we had 2 temple nights, of which we invited men, most of whom had never been exposed to something like this, to be a guest in our temple. And my heart went out particularly to a young man who was very nervous about coming, And he shared with us that one of the reasons is that before he arrived at the temple, he'd been watching porn all day and he'd already ejaculated twice to porn. And for reasons he couldn't understand, he was actually feeling unworthy of coming into the temple space. But when he did, he was moved to tears afterwards and really said that for the first time he realized that there was a gap between his sexual organs and his heart that was empty and that had never been connected until he had that temple experience. Now, this was a very young man, I'm going to say under 25, and he came and spoke at one of my conscious sexuality parties the next week. And seriously, there was not a dry eye in the room because he spoke with such emotion about that feeling. And that was just one experience in a temple by a very young man. So this is the power of this work. And you know, this is the power of the temples that used to be mainstream. This used to be just what happened, and this is the power of what we're trying to bring back.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, this is really what CSES was created and born for, was to bring this back into society. And we were saying, like, we're here to revolutionize the sex industry, but actually we're here to revolutionize sex. And we're here to also reconnect people back to each other, because this, the way things are, like, back to themselves and to each other, because the way that it's going at the moment, people are disconnected. There's a lot of separation between men and women. You shared with me that 58% of marriage breakups had porn behind it. Is that correct? Did I get that correct?
Yeah. And keeping in mind, statistics are always really underrepresented because a lot of people don't talk about their porn use, or it's subtle. So for every statistic we have, it's not possible there's more.
I would love to touch on the impacts on relationships and the impacts on the partners who are with someone that has struggling with a porn addiction. Something that I've seen is, and I've had clients that have shared, like, I don't feel chosen, I feel unwanted, I feel like, you know, we're not having sex, but he's watching porn, we're not being intimate, and there must be something wrong with me. Like, what is, you know, why wouldn't he choose to meet? And so they can feel like this, like, you're choosing this to watch porn over being intimate with me. Yeah. So and what I find is really interesting about that is when men have come to me with sharing that they're addicted to porn, they've never said to me, I'm addicted to porn because my partner isn't doing it for me. Or they never said, I'm addicted to porn because I don't want to be intimate with my partner. What they've said is, I don't know why I'm addicted to porn. I'm addicted to porn and it's affecting my relationship. I'm addicted to porn because it's the only way I can get hard. And I really just want to get hard with my partner, or I really just want to last longer with my partner, but I feel so ashamed that I can't please her and I can't. And that is, like, a lot of the reasons why they're not being intimate and why they're stuck in this, like, cycle of watching porn. But unfortunately, there's, like, can be massive impacts on the whole relationship because of this.
I think it's bigger than that. Let's just think about any addiction, once it gets to a certain level, has big impacts on families and relationships. Just a little example, if someone's spending 7 or 8 hours a day watching porn, their work will suffer. Their finances will suffer. Often porn addiction over a period of time gets coupled up with other addictions. So whether it be alcohol or drugs, some, not all, some people who are addicted to porn also become addicted to visiting sex workers, mainly because they're quite concerned about some of their sexual dysfunction and they're embarrassed about that at home. So they go to sex workers, I guess, to try and see, you know, what's working, what's not. But that too can become addictive. So there's a financial cost. So, I mean, any addiction has a big impact on families. There is a correlation between sex addiction and infidelity in monogamous relationships or lack of honesty in polyamorous relationships. So infidelity often leads to betrayal wounds in partners. It leaves partners with the real effects of, you know, what happens when their partner's not being honest, or what happens when their partner's seeing someone else, and how does their own self-esteem feel about that? Being around someone who's in withdrawal from any addictive substance is not pleasant, because then there's depression. There are physical withdrawal symptoms, which often lead to aggression and depression. Also, partner is physically incapable of creating the same chemical response around both oxytocin and dopamine. So for someone who doesn't actually realize got addiction, they're just looking at their partner and they're not creating the same chemical response. They're just not creating that big level of dopamine. And that can often come across as making a partner feel like they're not enough. Sometimes it comes in the face of asking partners to do more and more extreme acts. Sometimes it comes with just not wanting to have sex with a partner anymore. Or sometimes it comes with trying to have sex with a partner that's very disconnected, and or having sex with a partner and then running off to the toilets to masturbate afterwards. So for a partner, a lot of that, especially without an explanation or of an understanding, can be very, very damaging on their self-worth and their psyche. And from what I understand, for partners, even once they understand that it may be porn or it may be a porn addiction, that kind of damage to their feeling of safety and their nervous systems can take a lot of hard work and repair.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, as someone who has been the partner in that, it is tough. Like personally, I've you know, struggled with in that way with infidelity and being on the other side of betrayal, and like it's tough. And one thing that I mentioned before was like, for me, I can sense that someone's not fully in their heart. And I think that is the thing, is like, I can feel when a man's not really in his heart, it's not really present. And that for me doesn't make me feel safe. And then if I don't feel safe, it's very hard for me to really soften into my body and to really get aroused and really receive that man. So I feel like a big part of this journey of men going on this healing is that they get to come into their hearts. And that is such a big piece, is like, oh, I'm in my heart and I can really be with this person. And I'm actually in emotional intimacy and in deep connection. And I really feel that is where true intimacy is, and sexual pleasure arises from, when we are fully in our bodies. Something that I did want you to speak to, we are going to come to the end shortly, is you told this great story about this study that was done on rats and addiction. And I found that really fascinating.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So a couple of studies done on rats, but I guess one of the most compelling ones is rats were put in a cage, and rats are quite known for their joy of breeding. So a rat was put in a cage and he was given one lever that produced dopamine. So all he had to do was push this rat at this button and he would get a surge of dopamine through his body. It was also put in female rats and food. Very quickly, the rats stopped having any interest in having sex with the female rats. And over time, the rat actually starved to death because he had no desire but doing anything but hitting that dopamine button. So that's how powerful dopamine is. It's an incredibly powerful connection, and it's really about anticipation and really about not so much an act, but the build up and the wanting to do an act, which means there's so much dopamine on, oh, I'm going to go and watch porn, I'm going to ejaculate, not nearly as much pleasure around the actual act. It's almost compulsive. So, yeah, really compelling study that a choice of living in dopamine, the dopamine one.
Yeah, I love that story, and it really speaks to the danger of doing this, like the secrecy part. It's the like the anonymous part of like doing things on the, like the, you know, people watch porn on their own generally, and that is keeping in that dopamine addiction to it. So, I think that's a powerful thing to know, and I think it also speaks to how important it is to look at getting natural dopamine hits.
Also an education piece. Like, I know if I drink alcohol, that if I'm not sensible about the way I drink, I could end up with a problem. I know young people know if they're going to experiment with cocaine or other drugs, there is the potential for a problem. They may make a conscious choice to do that anyway, but they are at least aware of possibility of a problem. I don't believe that's happening with porn. I think it's almost considered just a cultural norm, and no one's sitting down and saying, look, potentially this could be an addictive substance for you. There's none of those discussions. There's really nothing letting people know that there is a potential for this to be addictive. Even the World Health Organization has not yet deemed porn addiction as an addiction. So they do recognize sex, a couple of disorders around sex, but they have not yet gone down the line of porn and sex addiction. They kind of talk around it. We only have one place where you can go for sex addiction help in Australia, although there are a growing number of places overseas. Sadly, people with porn addiction who really, really need help when their life has just got completely under control are going into rehab places for other addictions, like they're finding another one, well, alcohol or whatever. And then we have this weird thing happening that they're going to rehab for alcohol, but they still have full access to their phones and computers. So they might not be getting alcohol, but their addictions are actually getting worse.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This has been such a powerful and potent conversation. I really hope that, you know, the listeners, that you are getting so much out of this. Like, I know that I just, every time I hear this stuff, I get more and more out of it. And I've been working in this field a long time. So it just, and I think it's just getting worse, essentially. There was one thing that's probably a little bit controversial to speak to, and particularly because, you know, we have colleagues that work in porn. We have colleagues that we've had some of the women that have come to our training have, you know, are content creators, and they're wanting to learn how to do things differently. And we have colleagues that are also teaching, like giving educational content through porn channels, essentially. And so my question is around, I often have said it's about conscious porn consumption. You know, being conscious of your porn consumption. And it's the more that I learn about porn and its addictive nature, the more that I start to question, is that even possible? Is it possible that we can be conscious about porn consumption? And yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
I think that's such a good question. And I think it's hard to have a complete answer, because I too have lots of colleagues who are content creators, fantastic porn stars. I think it needs to start with education and consciousness.
Yeah.
And starting at a very young age. And I also think that you just aren't, as with anything that is potentially addictive, you can't actually know if it's going to be you that becomes addicted to it before you start watching it.
Yeah.
I think it's always going to be porn. That it's always going to be there. I think once we start censoring things, we create all sorts of problems. As soon as we say you can't do something, that usually the demand for it grows. But I do think there's a huge need for us to learn to control the monster that is porn consumption at the moment. It needs to start young. It needs to start early. And there needs to be a massive growth of alternatives.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, agreed. Absolutely. I do love that I am seeing, particularly a lot of my colleagues who do have like OnlyFans accounts, who are offering more education. They are getting in there and they're demonstrating things and they're teaching tantric work or, you know, conscious BDSM. There are things like that coming out, and I think that is great. So I'm not here to make anyone wrong, because I think that, you know, everyone has the right to choose whatever they want to do in the world and how they want to show up. And but what we also stand for at CSC is a way that offers healing and can ripple effect out into the world and actually help people to get back into their bodies and into their hearts. And I know that's what I'm here for. And so what I will say is that to those listening that resonate to this, that please reach out to us. Please reach out to us, whether you're someone that's a professional in this field and you want to learn, how do I support my clients with healing? How do I maybe offer more ways of educating people? I know that some of our men that came to our mixed gender training want to become facilitators of this work. And we're working on looking at offering a training that to help men who also want to teach. So there's lots of opportunities within what we're creating for people to come and learn and to be able to teach and facilitate and take this work out as part of our mission into their own communities. We're really encouraging that. We want you to be part of our world and what we're doing and our big vision. And also for those that just want their own healing, you're like listening to this and like, oh, where do I start? I'm struggling with this, or my partner's struggling with this. What I would say is like, reach out to us on Instagram and also have a look at our training. And that'll be in the show notes, the information in the show notes, and also on our Instagram. I also do have that men's sexual healing program, which I'll pop there. And, you know, if you just need some referrals, or if you want some referrals for trauma healing, like, just reach out. We are so happy to help you and support you. We just want this work out there. There are also other amazing trainings and teachings and work out there that is going to be very supportive for you as well. Have you got any other, Anna, anything else you would recommend or suggest?
I'd just like to add, if you're a parent, speak to your kids about porn early. Get some education around it. As early as you can. It's always awkward having those conversations with them, but it's really worth it, because you want to be having those conversations before they start viewing that kind of material, not 2 or 3 years after.
Yep. Great. Awesome. Thank you. This has been such a powerful conversation, and I'm sure we'll speak to it more throughout our other episodes. And I'm looking forward to supporting those who come into our field to work with us, and helping you come back into your bodies and your hearts and your aliveness.
So I just wanted to quickly share a little bit more information about my men's tantric sexual healing program. It is a 4-week journey, and it is based on tantric principles, really designed to help men master their sexual energy. But I have a lot of men that do this program because they are struggling with sexual performance problems. They're struggling with addictions and porn addiction. And this program was designed from 10 years of working with men on all these different things and so many of their different struggles. And I created it as a way to help men get out of this addiction, or the patterns of the way that they are having sex, or the way that they're pleasuring themselves, and to create a new way and to rewire the neurological pathways of the brain and to create a whole new set of habits when it comes to their body, when it comes to their pleasure, doing things in a completely new way. So I work with thousands, if not over 10,000 men in this work, and I really wanted to just share it with everyone on the podcast who's listening, as a way that if you are struggling with, you know, dependency on porn or some form of addiction, that this is really going to transform the way that you have sex and your body and how it functions, and those thoughts that you're having that perhaps are addictive and are unhealthy, and just rewire your brain so you are thinking a lot differently and have a whole new relationship towards sex. So go to www.ejlove.com/menssexmasteryprogram. And then if you put in the code 100, that's the number 100, off OFF into the promo code, it will actually take off $100 off for you. That's a gift for being a listener of my podcast. And I would love to know how you go with it. I would love to get some, you know, feedback and testimonials. I find a lot of men in person have shared with me so much how it's helped them. And yeah, I'd love to hear from more men from online and how they are transformed by it as well. And so if you have any questions about it, please feel free to reach out to me. If you're not sure if it's right for you or if it was going to support you with what you're struggling with, then look, just email me or it's support@ejlove.com, or you can Instagram me or Facebook me. I'm more than happy to answer your questions.